Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The New York Giants chose not to franchise Saquon Barkley for a second straight year, allowing him to become an unrestricted free agent and hit the market as he enters his seventh NFL season. That tag would have given him $12.1 million. Saquon has repeatedly said he'd like to be a quote-unquote Giant for life, and it's certainly possible. Giants would maybe match the best offer he gets on the open market and keep him. But Keyshawn, scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you as a Saquon fan that the Giants didn't apply a second tag?
I mean, you said a 1 to a 10. I'm going to a 0, even though that's not what you asked me. Not surprised at all. We kind of knew this was coming. I mean, it's been out there that the running back position.
All right, what if I say 1 to 10, how big a mistake did the Giants make?
I still say 0 because it's not over yet. Oh. And what I was going to get to, Skip, there is, when you think about it, they paid him about $12.5 million a year ago or so, you know, somewhere in there.
I think it was 10-something.
Was it 10?
On the first tag.
On the first tag. $11 million on the first tag, 10.9.
Yep.
This tag is about 12.2. Now, when they look at the production that he gave them in that situation, they didn't want to use the tag again. So they said, maybe we can come to a long-term solution. Maybe a fair market deal. We can re-sign him back. And if that's the case, and he wants to be a long-term Giant, then they have an opportunity to sign him back. I don't necessarily know that his feelings are going to go so deeply involved that he'll walk on them and go to the Dallas Cowboys or go to the Houston Texans, some teams that may look to, you know, get his services that have the money to pay him. Hell of a player. Great back as far as I'm concerned right now in the league. Can catch the ball out of the backfield. Can hit the hole with the best of them, can run on the perimeter, not afraid of contact, all of those sort of things. Somebody's going to get a steal in this situation without overpaying because the running back market is so squashed down. That's why you have so many running backs available right now. In the league as a whole, they all kind of talk. It's almost like they say to themselves, this year, we're going to saturate the market at this position, and we're going to make it so that everybody at this position gets less money and we don't have to pay them. And then the next year, it's the tackles. Then it's the tight ends. And then it becomes the receivers. And then the defensive backs. A year ago, defensive backs couldn't find money on the streets. So you start to look at that, and you say to yourself, okay, what's the real big plan for the Giants? Maybe not tying up this money in Saquon Barkley because they don't think they're going to be a very good football team, and he can't help them get to where they need to go with nothing else around them. They need receivers. The quarterback, whatever that is with Daniel Jones, they overpaid him, so they're out on him for the most part, is what everybody's starting to feel and say. And then all you got is Saquon Barkley. You don't have, you need more to compete, and all you got is a running back. So I'm not shocked at all, to be honest with you, Skip. Not at all.
So are they?
He'll find a better home for him with the right amount of money if he walks from the Giants.
So it sounds like they just conceded, right? They just waved the flag on the season, right?
Is that what you're saying? That's what it sounds like to me.
Really?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Okay, so let's
instead of fourth place for Dallas, you guys will be in third.
Oh, okay. Well, because we're stuck with Dak, right, for one more year. Thank you for saying that. Okay, so scale of 1 to 10, how valuable is Saquon on the open market? You'd be a 10. Right?
Very high on him.
Okay. You'd be a 12 or a 15.
High.
Right?
The Cowboys should be knocking on his door.
Well, then
the Cowboys or the Houston Texans should be knocking on his door.
Really?
Well, the Chargers, if they let Austin Eckler go, should be knocking on his door.
All right. So speaking of the Cowboys, I'm going to give you one of your favorite stats, one of your favorite comparison stats. So Saquon Barkley, in the 10 games he's played against the Dallas Cowboys, who are his marquee rival as a Giant, is 0-10 because he's never really hurt the Dallas Cowboys. Only twice in 10 games has he even broken 100 yards against the Dallas Cowboys. And in those two games, the first time he had a 68-yard run, then he averaged 2.6 yards a carry the rest of the way. And the second time in 2019, he had a 59-yard run. So what he is the classic case. I'm going to use the analogy again. He is the home run hitter who will lead the league in strikeouts and hit 220 for you, because he'll get you one or two a game. He will blind you with his highlights, but he cannot consistently gash you the way once upon a time Emmitt Smith gashed you, or even Josh Jacobs, the way he runs the football, has run the football for the Las Vegas Raiders, because those are chunks. It's 6 yards, 8 yards, 4 yards, 6 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards. Those are ball control yards. Those are eat your clock yards. Those are move your chains yards. And you don't get that from Saquon. So he's not a hell of a back to me. He's just a luxury back. He's an icing on the cake back. He'd be the last guy I'd want to be throwing $15 million
at. You do understand, in the National Football League or in Major League Baseball or the NFL or even in hockey and in golf or certain courses you play, you do understand there's certain teams in certain places that you play, no matter what it is, you just have bad games sometimes, and they don't. It doesn't work out.
So Dallas had his number.
But you, according to you, with the Dallas Cowboys, if you play bad against the Cowboys, you stink. If you play good against the Cowboys stink, and you should go get them.
Would
that's
you
the
say
way you
those
say.
Were his marquee games?
No, I'm not going to say that.
Well, they were
marquee games
every year. They were. It's their biggest rival, even though Philly and obviously Washington are big rivals.
Skip, it doesn't
this is
matter
Dallas.
About no rival. Yeah.
0-10 against Dallas.
He
I'm
had
sorry.
Bad teams.
Yeah.
They had bad teams. Their teams were bad, Skip. Mm. These were not good teams.
Well, just last year, Daniel Jones led them to a playoff win at Minnesota.
Man, they barely got in the damn playoffs. Right. They were the seventh seed or something.
They did do that. And then they gave all their money to Daniel Jones, okay?
Well, he's a quarterback in New York City.
Yep.
They made a decision to retain a quarterback on a short-term deal that makes it look so inflated because the back end on the APY makes you think that they paid Daniel Jones a boatload. They didn't give him a boatload.
Mm.
They gave him starting quarterback money, below average starting quarterback money
they
in the National Football League in New York City.
Yep. Okay.
What do you mean they gave him all the money? They gave him a 2-year deal. He'll be gone after this year.
Think so?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. They might draft a quarterback. They got 6 picks.
They may draft a quarterback, or they may trade for a quarterback, but he won't be their quarterback.
They might draft
in 2025.
Your favorite upcoming quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. He's sitting right there. That's a possibility.
I guess if they want to draft him.
Okay.
But you can't judge Saquon Barkley based on playing against the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm.
I had bad games against the New Orleans Saints my entire career.
Mm.
I had bad games against the Rams, whether it was in St. Louis or Anaheim or wherever I played them. Bad games against those teams. I could not take advantage of them for whatever reason at all. And I know damn well I was a good player, and I couldn't take advantage of them.
Okay,
so,
but were they your rivals? Not
doesn't
really.
Matter, Skip.
Yeah. Hmm.
Saquon Barkley ain't sitting there talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Not, it's a rival, so therefore I'm not going to play my best. They got my number. I'm scared of them. That's the way you making it sound, as if the Dallas Cowboys are so superior that you should.
You know what?
I'm not saying
that, because these are the same Cowboy teams that got run out of the building elsewhere, run out of the building this year at Arizona, at Buffalo. If we go back, there were years when
Skip, could you tell me outside of Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, could you tell me any other skill position players that are any good for the New York Giants? No, you couldn't, because I can't.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. They don't have him.
All right.
They're not good.
But if he's that dude, then he just takes the game over. You just figure it out. Hey, when Ezekiel Elliott was a first-year back and a second-year back and a third-year back, nobody could stop him. He led the league in rushing three straight years.
What you think Saquon Barkley did his rookie year? And then his second year and his third year, and then he got hurt. What you think he did?
He blinded you with a lot of highlights.
And then he blinded you with a lot of highlights.
If you look hard at the rest of it, he's not a productive running back. Never was.
Okay. You don't have to sign him. You don't need him in Dallas. That's fine.
Okay, so what do you think is going to happen in a loaded running back free agent market?
He's the top of the class in this loading running back class. I don't know that Josh Jacobs is getting out of Oakland or Las Vegas. I don't think so. I think they'll try to re-sign him.
I hope you're right for APC.
I think they'll re-sign him. Outside of that,
Derrick Henry.
But Derrick Henry's over 30 years old. He's a big back. It's not the same type of back, different style. Go ahead. Yep. Go sign him. I've never seen the Dallas Cowboys with a big back like that. When was the last time they had
Zeke was. I mean, he was 225. You know, that.
I'm talking about Derrick Henry size.
No, he's 250.
When was the last time the Cowboys had one of those?
Don't know that we've ever had that.
There you go. So that may not be their style. But if you want Derrick Henry, go ahead and get him. You go right ahead and you sign him. I'm just telling you that I believe that the Cowboys should make a run at it, as well as the Houston Texans and maybe the Chargers and a couple other teams that need backs. But you don't think he can play.
Okay,
I swear he can't play.
No, I didn't say he can't play. I just say you can't pay him $15 million. I'm sure that's what he wants.
Maybe you can't pay him $15 million. But there's a number that'll get it done. There's a number to get it done.
Well, is it below 12? Because that's what the Giants just said no to.
It might be.
Yeah.
It might be. It's all about the devil is in the details. How are you structuring my contract? What are you giving me? Well, how much money am I making in the first 2.5 years of guaranteed real money at this position? Are you giving me real money? Or are you trying to fluff me on the back end to make it look good? Because I don't want to be, I don't want my agenting for numbers. So for me, I want it for me personally, not for him. So it's all about the devil is in the details.
Okay, and I've told you before, and you agree with the sheep think that is the National Football League, because once the NFL world decides running backs are devalued, then everybody sort of follows suits.
But they didn't say that, but they weren't devaluing the running back when they was trying to get Christian McCaffrey to MVP. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they wanted to give him the MVP.
I don't know who did, but...
Well, everybody wanted to. Everybody was, not everybody, but there are a number of people that were saying he deserves the MVP over Lamar Jackson. He deserves the MVP over Brock Purdy.
Yep.
He's the reason that they're carrying him. So I wouldn't say that the position is being devalued when you start talking about Christian McCaffrey, but when you're talking about the running backs as a whole, yes, there are certain teams and certain personnel people that may feel that they can get a running back to do some of the same things for less money.
But all you need is one. He's the outlier. He is the only one.
All you need is one person to like you.
Okay.
You just need one team.
Okay, but most of these teams look at the draft and they say, I just know I can go down to the third round, fourth round, fifth round, and I'll find some Pacheco who can change my life.
Maybe you will.
Yep.
And then again, maybe you won't.
Okay. But they see what Kyle has done with any number
because
of assembly
Detroit,
line of
because
backs.
Because the Detroit Lions,
yes,
they value Gibbs.
Oh, did they?
They went and got him in the first round.
That's a home run.
They went and got him.
Yes, they did.
So
I agree with
what
that.
Dan Campbell,
he is rare
what Dan
electric.
Campbell and his team wanted to do is they like running the football. Mm-hmm. And they know that that is value for what their style is.
Agreed.
Where the Arizona Cardinals under Cliff Kingsbury did not value the running back position because all they want to do is throw every down. So depending on the organization, depending on the team, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots value third and fourth round free agent type backs.
They did.
Because they can say, hey, if I can get 1,500 yards out of the position by committee, that's what we look for.
But they valued Dante Scarnecchia as their offensive line coach.
That is true.
To teach
the Dallas Cowboys has always drafted running backs high. I don't care if it was Emmitt Smith or Ezekiel Elliott and guys in between. They've always said, oh, we'll take a running back in the top 50 picks because they're not afraid of that. That's what they like. Every team is different, Skip. Mm. Every single team is different.
Okay, but the league is looking at what Kyle has done with assembly line pre-McCaffrey and then what Mike McDaniel has done with assembly line backs and what Baltimore has done with assembly line backs. And I think generally the league is saying no to Saquon. Like at $15 million, they're not going to commit that kind of money to Saquon.
The backs in Baltimore, and I don't have it off the top of my head or I have it in front of me just thinking about it, they had a number of backs that was high draft picks throughout their, when they got drafted. They took guys on the back end of their careers. They had backs at the end of their careers on the back end that they try to get things out of, whatever little bit they had left in them.
Yeah.
But the Tennessee Titans have no problem taking backs high. They like backs. They like the Chris Joneses of the world, the Derrick Henrys of the world. They don't have a, so every organization is different, Skip.
Yeah, but it just
y'all better
like
find a back. That's what y'all better do.
Well, it's possible we'll keep Tony Pollard, but he's out there also on the market.
You gave him, what was it, $11 million last year?
And I don't disagree with Michael Irvin's pound the table take. He wants Derrick Henry at a discount price as the Thunder to the Lightning.
If you get them both, great.
Yeah.
If you get them both, great.
Okay.
I don't know why Derrick Henry would go to Dallas. He's trying to win a Super Bowl.
Well, we're stuck with Dak, right? Or wait, no, we got Dak. He's a top six quarterback. Who wouldn't want to play with the top six?
So he's not a top six to you?
No. Stop. Really? Top six at 2-5 in the post? I'm sorry, I can't do it.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Now it is your turn. Hashtag Undisputed Live. I don't have the first tweet yet, so forgive me for this. It is, let's see, no matter what Jerry does, Cowboys will still be the Cowboys. Yeah, that is true. I'll buy that. All right. Second tweet. Did Keyshawn really say Dak is better than Josh Allen?
I didn't say he was better than Josh Allen.
Love you, Cynthia.
I simply said, what's the difference?
Okay, well, you did say he was better. You ranked him higher than you did Josh Allen.
Okay, I ranked him higher because I like him.
Okay.
I like him more so than I like Josh.
All
didn't say he was
fair.
Better.
That's fair.
One dude led the league in interceptions.
Yeah.
One dude led the league since he's been in turnovers. So come on.
That is fair.
And that would be Josh Allen.
All right. And finally, from Andres Velasco, Skip is right about everything he says.
What does that mean?
I think it could be sarcastic.
What does that mean?
But thank you. If it's real, if it's legit, if it's genuine, thank you, Andres.
Right about everything.
Yeah. Keyshawn knows.
If I say the sky is blue, Skip will say, no, it's not. It's light blue. That's just you.
That's you, actually. If I say it's light blue, you're going to say it's green, whether it's blue or not. Okay. Obviously, for the Denver Broncos, the Russell Wilson trade was all-time bad. But was it the worst NFL trade ever? That is an interesting question, at least to me. But Keyshawn, your opinion, please.
The worst trade ever
involving any position.
Yeah. Yeah. Worst trade ever, Skip. Position? Any position, right? But it can't be any position because what do? We build them up. The quarterbacks.
Quarterback.
We pay them the highest salaries. Everything is about the quarterback. The quarterback. They changed the rules. Can't touch the quarterback. We want more scoring because of quarterback. Right? So when you look at it and you factor in a $242 million extension, then you eat $80-plus million on a cap, and you trade away basically everything to acquire Russell Wilson. You give up first-round pick, second-round pick, fifth-round pick, first-round pick. Then you get – and then you – only thing you send to them is a second-round pick, a backup quarterback, an okay tight end, and a defensive tackle.
That's it.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years later, the quarterback that you traded for is no longer on the team. But the key ingredient in all of this is Russell Wilson made over $100 million in those 2 years.
He did.
Put in his pocket. Good for him. That's good for him. I'm happy for him in Sierra. So, that, but then when you know, you can look at the Viking trade with Herschel Walker, but you got to factor in the position and the money too. I mean, obviously Dallas bamboozled Minnesota. I don't know what that was about. And it's crazy that they could get a first-round pick in 90, a second-round pick in 90, a sixth-round pick in 90, another one first-round pick in 91, a second-round pick in 91, another first-round pick in 92.
Yep.
Made zero sense for Minnesota to do the deal, but whatever Jimmy and Jerry did, they got them on that one.
Yeah.
I just think that – and Herschel played for Minnesota for a little bit longer than Russell played for Denver. And his impact – in Denver was supposed to be monumental. I don't know that the impact, and you was close to the situation, so you got to tell me. I don't know that Herschel's impact was supposed to be at another level in Minnesota because it wasn't that way in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson led Seattle to two Super Bowls, or was part of two Super Bowl teams. He won one, and then they tried to make him the hero, and he wound up losing it.
That's true.
In the end. Mm-hmm. And so it Herschel sound bigger because it was so many players and the Cowboys went on to have more success. But I just believe that the Denver one was to go down as the worst trade in the history of the National Football League.
I'm not going to argue hard with what you said about Denver because it is titanically bad. It's hard to argue out of the case that you just made. It is so crippling to the Denver Broncos that I feel for our guy, Sean Payton, because you are stuck and strapped with, what was it, $85 million?
Yeah, but I think that's spread over 2 years.
Yeah, it is. I'm just telling you, it's not good.
No, it's not good. Not at all.
All right. Okay. Now I'm going to go two, and then I'll make a stronger case for the second one, but I'm going to hit the Herschel one first.
Okay.
Because I was right in the middle of it. Jimmy Johnson had decided, the Cowboys players knew inside that team, and it was a bad football team, Herschel was about to be on his last legs because he had died for that Dallas cause. He had taken so many hits in 86 and 87. I was there. I watched it. He ran it. He caught it for Paul Hackett's offense. Paul's the offensive coordinator. You know how Herschel was. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
You know, okay. Like, he would catch the ball in the flat, and he's just going to try to run over four dudes,
he
right?
He couldn't run around. I mean,
he couldn't run around. And he didn't make anybody miss. But you want to talk about guts and heart? I got to tell you, because I got to know Herschel pretty well, and he could be pretty crazy occasionally. But listen, when he got the football under his arm, he would give you every ounce of his body, and he was getting rocked again and again and again. And as you know, you only have so many hits in your body. So Jimmy has taken over, and he's saying, well, wait a second. Where am I going with Herschel Walker? It's kind of like the Giants with Saquon. Not that he's beat up, but they just finally said, where are we going with him? You know, like are we going to go win the division with Herschel? Well, in 89, the Cowboys, they're like an expansion team. Okay, so where are you? And wait a second. So our friend John Wooten, you know John?
Uh-huh, okay. John.
So John is the GM for Jimmy and gets a call from Mike Lynn inquiring about the availability of Herschel Walker. And John and Jimmy are like, seriously? Like, you want to give us, like, a boatload for him, like a king's rent? Yeah. Would he maybe be available? Yeah, we could make him available for you. Okay, so the deal ends up, Jimmy termed it the great train robbery because you pointed it out. But it was 3 firsts, 3 seconds, a third, and a sixth. But more important, there were 4 players thrown into the trade. And one of them, do you remember Jesse Solomon? This is a little before your time.
I remember Jesse Solomon.
But he was decent. You know, he was pretty good. Ike Holt was a cornerback who was not bad.
I don't remember Ike. Okay. Jesse Solomon was a linebacker.
Okay, he was. And he was pretty good. And they kept him. But they could keep a player and give back a pick if they wanted to try him out. They could let him play a couple of games. And they could say, we'll keep him or we'll give you the pick back. Mm-hmm. So they kept Jesse Solomon. But this is the great train robbery. Okay, here's the outcome of it. With those picks, they didn't hit on all of them because you can't hit. Nobody ever hits on all those picks. But they got Emmitt Smith. That'll work. They got Darren Woodson, who should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
He will be.
He will be at some point. That will work. They got Kevin Smith. I don't know if you remember Kevin.
Little Puff. I know Puff, the corner.
Out of Texas A&M. He started for 7 years at cornerback for them. Okay, will that work? Sure, it'll work. They got Russell Maryland with the first overall pick, but they picked him first because they said, we're not going to pay you top pick money, but we'll give you the honor of being the first pick if you will take a lesser deal like you're the 10th pick. So they went ahead and used it on Russell Maryland. Jimmy knew him from, he had coached him at Miami, okay? So, but Russell Maryland did make a Pro Bowl, and he was a very good player.
He was a good football player.
He was kind of a Sapp-like player, but he wasn't Warren Sapp, but he played that style of that sort of snaky style inside, a little undersized. But the point was, I just gave you 4 names. They also got Clayton Holmes. But I just gave you 4 names where you're giving me all that.
Those are real Super Bowl pros.
Like star power players. If you just gave me Emmitt Smith back for Herschel.
Pup was good.
Yeah.
He was good for a long time at corner. He just got his knees banged up. But he was good.
I'm not talking about a Pro Bowl player, but he was a starter for really good Dallas Cowboys teams. Uh-huh. Herschel Walker then goes up to Minnesota, and the first year they were pretty good. They went 10-6, but they unfortunately wound up at San Francisco in their first playoff game. That team was about to go on and win the Super Bowl, and they got rocked. It was 41-13. The second
in
two
the
years,
rain, right?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. Second 2 years of Herschel at Minnesota were 6-10 and 8-8. Herschel Walker wound up coming full circle back to the Dallas Cowboys to be a special teams player, to be a kick returner and play on special teams, okay? So that's how bad it was for Minnesota. So you could argue that even though it's not the quarterback position, in the totality of it, it could go down as the worst trade ever.
Yeah,
right?
but the problem that I have with that,
there's no quarterback involved.
If the Minnesota Vikings still had those picks, they're probably not picking Emmitt Smith and Darren Woodson and Kevin Smith and Russell Maryland.
All right.
They're not going to pick them.
Okay. Now, this one to me is slightly worse than the Russell Wilson, but it's a reverse worse because it's the Brett Favre trade by the Falcons giving Brett Favre to Green Bay. And remember, the Falcons had taken him early in the second round. Jerry Glanville, for whatever reason, I never talked to Jerry about this, he just didn't love Brett Favre.
Yeah.
First NFL pass that Brett tried got pick sixed.
Yes.
He threw 3 more passes his rookie year, no good, and wound up watching from the bench. He was a party boy off the field, you know, all the stories. He was into this and into that. And they just thought he was going to be a disaster.
Yes.
And so for the 17th pick in the first round, Mr. Wolf up in Green Bay says, you'll give me Brett Favre. I'll give you the 17th pick in the first round. 1 first round pick straight up for Brett Favre. Well, the rest is Super Bowl history. Again, Is Brett Favre better than Russell Wilson has been? Russell's been really good. I mean, he's been really good. And Brett got to 2 Super Bowls and won 1, right? Same as Russ.
But see, again,
yeah,
Russ got the 2 Super Bowls. He had a solid defense and a run game.
He
it wasn't
did.
About him.
Yeah.
But Brett Favre and the Atlanta Falcons were not a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They were not good. Brett Favre wasn't going anywhere with Atlanta. Seattle could have hung on to Russell Wilson and probably did okay. They probably could have made a playoff here or there.
I would agree.
He probably could have did fine there.
Yep.
But they moved on from him.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of moving on from him, not only did Denver give up players and picks, they gave him two big bags and a Brinks truck and said, here.
Okay.
Green Bay didn't do that with Brett Favre. Brett Favre had to play and do some stuff, get to the Super Bowl, win it before they said, here's a bag. They immediately turned the bag in to Russell Wilson. Forget the picks. I'm talking about real money.
Mm-hmm.
They had to give up money and now take an $80-plus million cap hit to say bye-bye. Brett Favre played for Green Bay for, what, 15 years?
Yep.
He played two seasons.
Okay, but you stole Brett Favre for the 17th pick
really
in the draft.
But you really didn't steal Brett Favre. And the reason you didn't, because Brett Favre wasn't Brett Favre. Russell Wilson was Russell Wilson in Seattle. Brett Favre was a guy with a jersey on in Atlanta having issues, going through things, with things.
Okay.
Ron Wolf was smart enough as one of the top general managers to be able to say, we can fix that.
Well, he had evaluated Brett out of Southern Miss before the draft.
Yes.
And said, I love this kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so
Brett wasn't, this wasn't Michael Vick in Atlanta. This wasn't that. It wasn't Matt Ryan in Atlanta. Okay. It was a guy that, like you said, threw a few picks, and Jerry Glanville was like, no mas.
What if Brett Favre stays in Atlanta? What happens to his career?
Ain't no telling.
Yeah.
Ain't no telling if he stays in Atlanta. If he stays in Atlanta, they got to the Super Bowl with the Dirty Birds and Chris Chandler
in 98.
Mm-hmm. And then they got back with Matt Ryan.
They did.
But they had a different team. And that, how many years was that removed from when Brett Favre was actually a part of the Atlanta Falcons? They've gone through, who replaced Glanville? Was it Dan Reeves that replaced him, or was it somebody in between?
I think it would be Dan Reeves, but I didn't check that.
And if Glanville couldn't deal with Brett Favre, do you really think that Dan Reeves would have been able to deal with Brett Favre? June Jones replaced him.
June Jones
replaced him.
And
think about that. June Jones. Not so good. That's why it's not.
I think they tried Jeff George.
Yeah,
right?
Jeff George was there. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So Brett Favre was in Atlanta. Yeah. Brett Favre was just a guy in Atlanta. He was just a guy. I understand you look at the history of his career to Green Bay.
Okay.
Once he got to Green Bay.
Okay.
It could have gone disastrous in Green Bay, just like early in Atlanta.
Okay. But there are those out there who rank Brett Favre in their top five. I don't know. I understand
that. But at the time that the trade went down, Brett Favre wasn't nowhere near top five. He was 55, best quarterback.
But in hindsight, retrospect, was that the steal of the century? It's pretty great, man. Because remember, think about this.
No. You're saying it was the steal of the century.
Of that century.
They had no idea.
No, but
that
but,
it was going to turn out that way.
I mean, Ron Wolf hoped it would turn out that way. He thought it would.
But Denver, is it George Payton, the general manager, along with Hackett, thought that, oh my God, we just got the second coming to Tom Brady. They just thought that.
At a fairly young age still.
At a fairly young age, 35 years old now when they acquired him. I think he was 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So they figured, we got one, and they pushed it all into the center.
They did.
They gave him all the money. That didn't happen with Brett Favre. Brett Favre was, Ron Wolf gave him something that nobody else would do, a 17th pick of the draft. Ron Wolf probably could have gotten him for a third-round pick, but he didn't want to take the chance. He said, I feel it. I'm going to do it. This is what's going to happen.
Remember the circumstances. Green Bay post Vince Lombardi had fallen on long, hard times. Because nobody wanted to play in Green Bay. The free agents didn't. But once Brett was acquired, Reggie White said, you know, I think I'll give this a shot. So Reggie signed as a free agent with the Packers.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, what used to be Titletown up there, up on the lake, up there in Wisconsin, it was back on the map, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but in hindsight, you look at that, to me, that's the all-time NFL steal, but I don't know if for Atlanta, it turned out to be the worst trade ever. To me, Atlanta,
it can't be.
Well, it can if you look at it,
no,
then why didn't
Atlanta,
we know?
Because Atlanta would have never gotten what they would have never gotten out of Brett Favre what Green Bay got out of him, because one, Ron Wolf wasn't their general manager. Okay? So that wouldn't have never happened at all in Atlanta.
Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren. Mike Holmgren wasn't there. It was Glanville and June Jones.
June Jones would run and shoot like crazy.
That's it.
Like he almost invented
Didn't
it.
Win anything.
No.
So if he stays in Atlanta,
Dan Reeves might have figured it out. He might have.
But you're talking about however many years later versus when Brett went to Green Bay when he was young.
Yeah.
Versus when Dan Reeves took over. When Dan Reeves took over, Brett Favre was probably like in his 10th, 11th year.
Yeah. It probably helped to get Brett out of Atlanta.
That too.
To Green Bay,
that,
right?
That too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, was Dion on those Atlanta teams? Was Andre Rison on those? Andre Rison was for sure on the June Jones team. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if, I'm trying to remember if he was on.
Let's see, the Cowboys.
Dion was there with Glanville. Yeah, that's right. They were there.
They were there.
They were there. It wouldn't have turned anything, because even with prime them, the Atlanta was not good.
Interesting discussion.
Gosh.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I found this reaction from Dak Prescott odd, and for me, even outrageous. Dak said that what bothers him most is not personal criticism, but shots taken at the Cowboys' culture not being conducive to producing a Super Bowl. Dak said, yeah, the culture is great from my standpoint. My point is that's something I've bragged on and took pride in. So if there's questions of that or concerns on that, I feel attacked. I have a whole lot to say about this, but Keyshawn, what's your reaction to what Dak said?
Well, I don't think the Cowboys have a culture problem at all. Culture problem to me is when your locker room is dysfunctional, when guys are constantly getting into trouble and not listening to the coaches, and it's basically a picnic, a party. It's a nursery school. It's just you do what you do what you want. It's a substitute teacher. They put the paper in the straw and blow it out and hit a guy in the back of the head. That's a culture problem. I don't see that with the Dallas Cowboys. Mm. I don't see that as a problem. Now, is Dak Prescott right about people like you always questioning why they hadn't won the Super Bowl and all these sort of things? Yeah, he's right about that. Does it make him mad? It should. But you got to finish the deal. And then people won't talk about it as much. But that ain't on him as much. You know the culture problem that you do have? You have a personnel problem. You have a personnel problem. That's what you have. You have 200-pound linebackers trying to stop the run game. That's serious now.
Yeah, I agree.
Because all those teams that beat you, how did they beat you? Running the football.
Yep.
That's how they dominated you. The Detroits should have beat you. The Green Bay's beat you.
Wasn't all running the football, but go ahead.
But it wasn't all running the football. But at the same time, those teams took advantage. Arizona took advantage of running the football against you. You lining up. Ain't no way in the world a 300-pound offensive lineman against a 220-pound, 230-pound linebacker, that linebacker going to win. It's not going to happen. Mm. This is why them dudes are big. In physical. That's a problem for y'all. Okay? Running the football is a problem for y'all. Mm. That's personnel. So if you want to do well in the postseason, you got to address some of the personnel issues that you have. You mentioned Pacheco. Pacheco looked back running the football well for Kansas City in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Hard.
Hard.
Right?
You don't want anybody out there.
For one reason or another, you didn't have that.
Mm-mm.
But you want it to all fall on Dak's shoulders, though. You want everything to fall on Dak's shoulders. Reason San Francisco was in the position they was in, not only because their defense stepped up, but they got a dude running the football okay, aggressively, if Pacheco's one, he 1A at how he runs.
I agree.
And Christian McCaffrey.
Yep, you're right.
So I'm not looking at it and saying it's a culture problem because they haven't done well in the postseason. Mm. Because that's not even the right, I don't even know the right word to use in replace of that. Mm. Y'all have a real strong personnel issue, okay, if anything.
Yet you say you keep defending Dak because we won 12 games each of the last 3 years. So I don't know how big a personnel problem we have if we won 12 straight games.
You can win in the regular season and get full of yourself like you always do.
Thank you.
You and Michael Irvin sat up here and won in the regular season. But guess what's portable? When you travel in the postseason, the portable things that you have to have and you must have is stopping the run, something you did not do very well, and run the football, something you didn't do very well. The Philadelphia Eagles went to the Super Bowl because they was a number one, number two team in the NFL in running the damn football, Skip.
Okay.
They ran the ball.
All right. I don't disagree with your personnel issues that you have with my squad, but I vehemently disagree with culture problem. You say we have none. We have to define what culture is. We still have a country club culture, and it's not Dak's fault completely. It starts at the top with the owner / general manager. We have no accountability within our locker room. We have no fear factor of retribution if we do stink it up at Arizona or at San Francisco on a Sunday night where we lose 42-10, or if we stink it up at Buffalo 31-10. And repeatedly in postseason games, it has allowed my team to come out flat, where because there's no Jimmy Johnson,
let me talk, okay?
There's no Jimmy Johnson, there's no Bill Parcells. They would not stand for any of that because heads would roll. I watched Jimmy Johnson with a team on the verge in 1992 finish the year against Mike Ditka's Chicago Bears, winning handily at Old Texas Stadium. And in the fourth quarter, a kid named Kervin Richards carried the football and fumbled it and lost it. And after the game, Jimmy Johnson he was a second round pick out of Pitt. Cut Kervin Richards just to send a message to his football team, this is not acceptable. I will not allow this. That team went into that postseason, in which they finally and ultimately won the Super Bowl, with zero backup back to Emmitt Smith, and they got away with it because he was Emmitt Smith. But if he had gotten hurt, they did not have a backup back. They had no 1A to him. They had no counterpunch to Emmitt Smith. Kervin Richards was gone because that's how Jimmy did business. Mike McCarthy does not do business that way. Jerry Jones at the very top is way too close to too many players as Daddy Jerry. And so the point is that it's too easy to be a Dallas Cowboy because you don't fear for your job. You don't fear going in on Monday. You don't fear the film session. You don't fear anything the way you used to fear Bill Parcells, because when it was wrong, he let you know it was wrong with both barrels. Am I right?
No, you're right, but you're talking about
that's
Jimmy
culture.
Johnson, who basically ran the team.
Yeah.
Okay?
He did. I mean,
Jerry was there, but he had the ability. They gave him the keys to do whatever he wanted to do until they didn't, and they took it from him.
Yeah, they did.
And he went on about his business.
He did.
Same thing with Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
Bill ran the New York Jets. He ran the New York Jets when he wasn't the Jets. He still was running teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
He ran the Dallas Cowboys until Jerry said, I don't want you to do it this way. That's not Jerry. Jerry doesn't want to just cut somebody and do those sort of things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a country club. I wouldn't say that at all. Because they got nice facilities, and they travel well, and that's not a country. All teams in the National Football League at some point in time will have nice facilities.
Yeah. Nobody feared going back to work after those disasters during the regular season. It led to what happened in back-to-back home playoff losses. The first one to Jimmy G's 49ers, Keyshawn. We came out flatter than North Texas is in that game. We came out not ready to play against Jimmy G's 49ers. And I look up and it's 23-7 going to the fourth quarter. Are you kidding
me? Supposed to fear?
That's culture. That's
culture. Your best players ain't going to be scared.
No.
Because they ain't going nowhere. They under contract.
Okay. Yeah. I see other teams ready to play. I see the 49ers come out ready to play.
You were flat against the Green Bay Packers. That's okay.
Flat.
You know why you were flat? Because of those 12 wins in the regular season, because of the number two seed, and y'all feel like, what you always trying to sit around and tell me? It's the Dallas Cowboys. We have the star. Hold on, man. Don't nobody care about all that. But y'all think that means something. So you walk out on the field in your big fancy stadium with your star and your big time owner, and everybody's supposed to be scared.
Okay.
It does not work like that.
Okay, this is before your time, but we had all of that times 100 with Tom Landry as the head coach. Trust me.
But that was so long ago, Skip.
No, it wasn't that long ago. It went on for 30 years. I don't care if you're born or not. I was, and I witnessed it, and I experienced it, and so did a lot of people in Dallas, Texas, who are still alive. Nope, they have not changed.
They have.
Those players lived in fear of the film sessions.
I grew up playing football with hard-nosed coaches, and I accepted the way they coached me and the way they dealt. All coaches aren't like that. They communicate differently. You have to accept that. This is what you have. Yeah. This is what you have. Mm. You want the culture to change. So, what, you want to go hire Jimmy Johnson again? You want to find that guy?
I want to find somebody like that guy.
Somebody like that.
I guarantee you, the Michigan football program under Jim Harbaugh, they lived in fear of what he might do.
Jim Harbaugh is not a screamer and a yeller at his players.
Yeah, he
Jim is not nowhere near that.
He coaches hard.
Yeah, coaching hard and screaming and yelling and cutting people is totally different.
He coaches the quarterback as hard as you can coach it.
Your quarterback that you just had a nice season. What are you talking about?
By your standards, not mine.
This is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
People like you.
What's
again?
The standard? You just want to kind of rock along and win some games?
The standard is for them to get into the playoffs and try to win some games.
And
you got into the playoffs. Yeah. Now it's time to try to win some games.
Is the standard
you got to win in the regular season to get to the postseason.
Is the standard to get in the playoffs or win the games? Because those are mutually exclusive.
You got to win in the regular season to even get to the playoffs. You just want to walk into the playoffs as the Dallas Cowboys and think people just going to lay down on you. They're not.
Keyshawn, the culture in Dallas is nightmarishly bad. And Dak's a nice guy, but remember, I don't know if this is before your time, Leo DeRocher, one of the great managers in the history of baseball, said nice guys finish last. We got a lot of nice guys who are way too comfortable being nice guys after big losses coming in on Monday.
Maybe you need a few Rottweilers. There's no question about that. All teams need a couple. There's no question about it. Everybody needs a couple.
I think we have zero.
Well, that ain't got nothing to do with Dak Prescott.
Yeah. I didn't blame Dak on this. I just said.
I
just said. Well, he said he defends the culture because he thinks it's great. And I'm saying, what culture? And I just backed it up. I showed you. There's no culture there. There's not a winning culture in Dallas, Texas. It's a fun culture to be part of.
It's not a winning culture because they hadn't won in the postseason in a long time.
Yeah.
It's a winning culture.
But he's
in the regular
defining
season.
Culture as this is a fun place to be.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Stop. No,
yes,
he's not.
He is.
That's not what he's
like,
saying.
We got a bunch of nice guys.
No, that's not what he's saying.
We love each other.
That's not what he's saying.
Yeah,
he's not saying that. You want him to say that so you can pounce on him, but he's not saying that.
Well, what's he saying?
All he's simply
got a great
saying
culture?
Is the way you guys are treating the players as if they shouldn't be allowed to even wear the uniform.
You want to know the truth?
That's the truth.
I'm going to give you the truth. How could he have the audacity to defend the Dallas culture after what happened in that playoff game? That was the biggest collapse in a playoff game I have ever seen in my lifetime, given the circumstances of what it should have been. It starts and finishes with no culture in the Dallas locker room. That's what that was. They were not ready to play the football game. So don't tell me we got a great culture here. I'm sorry. Game over. That's all. You can't defend what happened when it's 27-0 before halftime.
I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just simply telling you what the man is saying. It has become somewhat, like Todd Archer said, who covers the Dallas Cowboys, a buzzword running around all of a sudden with the Dallas Cowboys. It's a buzzword. Culture, culture. We need to establish a culture. Yeah, they do need to establish a winning culture. Yeah. There's no question about it. A winning culture like the New England Patriots, like the Kansas City Chiefs. You need a winning culture in the postseason.
Yeah.
You don't have it, but the only way you're going to get it is by winning.
Yeah. Well, all those
you don't
years,
have to be a hard ass to have a winning culture.
Okay.
You just got to win.
Was Bill Belichick a hard ass? Yeah.
That's something that he established a long time ago.
He did.
This is different now. It's a different game. Well, everybody keeps telling you that. Some players aren't going to respond to that. Number one, the pay scale is way different now.
Mm.
Okay, when players are getting $200 million, you know what they're going to get? They're going to get a finger right off the hand. Okay, that's what they're going to give you. If you start talking to them crazy, they're going to tell you can kiss you know what.
Okay.
So you got to be careful on how you deal with people, Skip.
If I don't have a Jimmy in the locker room, I at least need a Michael Irvin in the locker room. I just need one.
But that's
one
not
Michael
on
Irvin.
The players to get that personality. That's on the people that's picking the players to be able to identify somebody and be able to say, I need that guy. That's the type of guy I need on my team.
Mm.
When that guy's available, go get him. Go get a Saquon Barkley. Go get him. But you'll tell me, Saquon Barkley is not a leader. What has he ever won? He never beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that's true and true and true.
Because Saquon Barkley is a leader. He is a leader. Yeah, absolutely.
Got that dog in him?
Absolutely.
Does 100%. He? Really?
100%. 100%.
0-10 against my no culture team?
Stop, man.
Start.
Stop, dude. You're talking about a team because he lost to the Dallas Cowboys. That's the measuring stick.
10 times to the no culture Cowboys.